Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 39. This week, we are talking Happy Time Murders. The No Sesame, All Street movie was their tagline.
The R-rated
Muppets movie, starring Melissa McCarthy and Stanley from The Office. Is that the other notable? I guess Joel McHale, too.
Yeah, and Joel McHale, who phones it in, and a couple other actresses and actors that just aren't even necessary. Yeah, but yeah, not, you'd think, like, a movie like this, they'd, like, ensemble cast it and get a bunch of, like, celebrity voices, but they kind of had a couple puppeteers do some voices left and right, too.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. I think that should yield something interesting, I guess. But first up, movie news. Guillermo del Toro's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, he's not directing, he's producing, has revealed its full cast and has begun shooting, as well as a synopsis that was kind of floating around, but people weren't really, you know, sure if that's exactly what it was. This is coming from the director of The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which was a horror movie that came out last year. Basically just a bunch of no-names. Actually, Austin Abrams, I believe he was in The Walking Dead in a couple recent seasons. He was one of the Carl's, like, frenemies in a way.
Was he the one in that Ben Stiller movie?
Oh yes, that was him. Yeah. Brad Status.
He was pretty good in that, and he was in The Americans for a couple episodes. He's a good little actor. Hateable in Walking Dead, but
yeah,
that's the power of a good actor.
Yeah. But basically, it's just going to be about there's not really anything directly that it's about. It's more so just like sudden and macabre deaths around the town shock these teenagers into, like, investigating it or something like that. So it's probably just going to take whatever happens in the book and make it, like, somewhat related to that, but then, like, tie it all together somehow. Del Toro did say,
I hope it's not lame and, like, young adult, like, genre.
Yeah. Del Toro did say on Twitter that it was going to have the same look as the original books, which I guess in the past, like, 10 to 15 years or something, they, like, redid the drawings for it, and they were, like, not scary at all. But they're gonna do it in the same vein as, like, the original, which is why it was so, you know, terrifying to read.
Yeah, those haunted my dreams when I was a kid. I was like, what did I stumble upon here? Should I be reading this? So interested to see where this goes.
Yeah. Next up, 3 million Netflix subscribers are still using the DVD rental plan compared to 130 million streaming subscribers. Could you imagine? Who are these people? What are they
Austin,
doing?
There are still people that use AOL dial-up internet, and sometimes they're like, I'm out of the internet. I need another new free CD.
I do not understand. What a waste. What a pointless thing to do.
Well, some people still literally, like I said, are on dial-up internet and can't stream, so they gotta ship those DVDs in that standard definition quality to their DVD players.
I guess, yeah. All right, I wonder how long that 3 million is gonna hold out.
Hey, we still got a Blockbuster open. Side note, that final Blockbuster that's still open is doing their own craft beer. I read that this week, so that's a thing, too, so...
Okay.
So bring that up in next time you need a trivia fact.
Next up, James Bond 25 news. Someone has exited. Not Daniel Craig. However, there is a rumor going around that Idris Elba is, like, gonna probably almost, like, 100% gonna be the next Bond after this one.
Wait, but, what? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's too old. He's like Tom Brady, too old.
Yeah, I guess. But he still looks pretty good.
I want it badly, but
yeah. But for Bond 25 here, Danny Boyle has exited as director. And a lot of people were fairly excited about this, I think, because Danny Boyle has a pretty interesting visual style, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
And can kind of bring that flair to this. But the rumors are, or what I guess the reasoning was, creative differences, which makes it sound like Danny Boyle probably wanted more control over the script or something, because I think it's still being written, even though this is supposed to come out in like a year and 2 months. So who knows what's going on there. But now it's delayed because he exited, and they don't really know what they're going to do or who they're going to get. I've seen some rumors that they're going to get the dude that directed Casino Royale.
Okay.
I've seen some rumors that they're just going to try and throw a bunch of money at Christopher Nolan. Nolan's like stipulation was that he wants to pick his own Bond for his movies. Like, that doesn't really work here. Or the guy that made Mission Impossible, Fallout, and Rogue Nation. Holy shit,
the guy who directed Casino Royale did, like, all of the rest of them as well.
Really?
He's done a lot. Oh, no, I'm wrong. I clicked on Daniel Craig's IMDb instead.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Sam Mendes did Skyfall.
Yeah. Who is this guy? This guy hasn't done anything else. Well, he actually did GoldenEye and The Mask of Zorro and, like, nothing else good since then, really.
Weird.
I was looking forward to the Danny Boyle version, but he does have a... I don't think there's much from him that neither of us don't enjoy, so it's a shame, but they'll get somebody good for sure. Would you want a Nolan James Bond?
I don't know.
You know he would just cast Tom Hardy.
Exactly, and I don't want Tom Hardy. People were kind of joking that he might just pick Michael Caine, and that would be hilarious. I would love just like an 80-year-old James Bond. All right, next up, Crazy Rich Asians, which we did not review, but is scoring big at the box office, scoring big with audience scores, big on Rotten Tomatoes, has gotten a sequel. It is moving forward with the same director, John M. Chu, and the same writers returning. So apparently, I guess in the movie, spoiler alert maybe, I don't know, it's a rom-com, can you really
skip
spoil
ahead
it?
30 seconds.
apparently there's like, they do a mid-credits scene, and it's like sort of teases like another relationship that wasn't the main relationship or something. Ooh. So I'm assuming that's what this is supposed to be about. But I mean, good for them. It's kind of crazy that they have like, it's already getting a sequel. It's just crazy.
I'll say this.
Buzz.
Go see Crazy Rich Asians instead of Happy Time Murders. I regret that we're not reviewing that. Yeah. Did you see in Germany, it's just called Crazy Rich?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Good for these guys. Really, really good to see the success here. And honestly, from the trailers, I didn't think it looked good, but apparently it is, and we'll have to give it a watch.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing it. I'm pretty pumped to see it. All right, next up, Top Gun Maverick, rounding out its cast here, adding this has got some big names already. I mean, obviously Tom Cruise, Val Kilmer's coming back, Miles Teller is going to be in it, Glenn Powell, I think his name is like... he was in Everybody Wants Some. He was in that Set It Up movie, Set It Up rom-com that everyone was raving about on Netflix over the summer. Now it's got John Hamm, Ed Harris, and Lewis Pullman. I don't know who that is. All joining. That's insane.
That's a really stacked cast. I'm gonna Google Lewis Pullman. But Jesus, that's getting ensemble territory here. But I guess the first one was so.
Yeah, John Hamm. It has got to be like a rival pilot or something.
Oh,
like a
yeah.
rival asshole pilot, right?
Yeah, if he can play the dick that he is in like Baby Driver, this is going to be awesome.
And then Ed Harris is going to be like the admiral or whatever.
Oh,
they call
absolutely.
Yeah.
Or the president. Ed Harris, man, he is old. Jesus, like he's going to be an old grizzled general in this one.
Oh yeah.
Lewis Pullman isn't in much, but he's going to be in Bad Times at the El Royale.
Hey,
he
nice.
Just led in The Stranger's Prayer at Night. He was in Battle of the Sexes, which you saw, but probably a small role. But yeah, what a cast! I think we're excited for this.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I straight up don't know if I like have ever seen all of the original Top Gun, which I guess I should probably do. But I mean, the cast has me intrigued.
Nice.
Next up. Emma Watson is set to join Greta Gerwig's adaptation of Little Women, which has a pretty stacked cast already. Meryl Streep, Laura Dern, Saoirse Ronan, Timothy Chalamet, and Florence Pugh. I don't know who that person is. With Gerwig writing and directing, based on a old novel, I would assume. And I think it's probably been adapted a couple times already because I know that name. But Emma Watson is going to be in it, apparently playing the part originally intended for Emma Stone. Emma Stone had to drop out because of promotional obligations for an upcoming movie she has in the award season this year. So that, I guess that kind of sucks for her, because this feels like something that is probably going to be an award season player as well.
Absolutely.
How do we feel about Emma Watson?
I can't tell if she's a good actress. I don't know. There were times in Beauty and the Beast where I was like, oh, she's not great. And then you saw The Circle, I think it was called.
Oh, man.
And you said she was miserable in that.
I think she's fine, but then seeing The Circle was like, wow, is she actually bad?
Yeah.
Is she just riding the celeb name train there?
I don't know anything about Little Women, but I'm sure Greta Gerwig will do a good job.
Yeah, I agree. Next up, last movie news story of the week. John Lithgow is going to play Roger Ailes in the Fox News scandal movie. Roger Ailes was the Fox News chief, basically kind of got it to rise to like the top of the cable news as we know now, and then had some sexual harassment scandal come down on him, I think last year, that sort of ended his career. So Lithgow is joining Nicole Kidman, Margot Robbie, and Charlize Theron. Kidman's going to play Gretchen Carlson, who is a Fox News anchor who sued him. Charlize Theron is going to play Megyn Kelly, who, I guess, rose to fame on Fox News and now is on NBC or something, I think. And then Robbie's character is just going to be a fictional associate producer or something. That's a pretty stacked cast. That sounds pretty interesting to me. I don't know how I feel about, like, Fox News being portrayed in, like, a... Like, no offense, but, like, is this going to portray Fox News in, like, a good light outside of the fact that this dude is, you know, a terrible person?
I doubt it. I mean, unless it's a really, like, stacked Republican agenda type movie, but it sounds like they'll downplay or you know, play up the scandalous nature of that network.
Yeah. Oh, it is being written by the guy or one of the people that wrote The Big Short, so that's good. I like that. That works out well. And then directed by Jay Roach, famous for Austin Powers.
Oh, what?
Yep.
And sweet.
Yeah. So we got that to look forward to. That is an interesting melding of two worlds.
I just googled what Roger Ailes looks like, and yeah, I could see John Lithgow putting on some weight and playing him.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that is it for movie news this week. TV news. The Big Bang Theory is ending after this upcoming season because Jim Parsons, who plays Sheldon, turned down like a $50 million payday to do another season. And basically they were like, well, we can't, I guess. Like, he was going to be making $50 million and like everyone else was going to be making like a little bit less, probably still a ridiculous amount. I think everyone else was on board, but because he said no, they were like, well, we got to end it then.
Yeah, I'm thrilled with this. I don't like the show. I don't like that it portrays nerds in what people who don't really know who nerds are and how they act. Like, it just portrays what they think nerds are. And I've never watched a second of this show that I enjoy. What about you?
I absolutely despise it. Any time that I see it on, or any time that I go to someone's house or something, and it's on for some reason, because they're like watching just like TBS or something, and it's just replays, I have to make
it known
how bad it is. I'm like, what is wrong with you as a person to have this on for longer than 30 seconds?
I've probably brought this up on the podcast before, but Google Big Bang Theory without laugh track, and you'll just find how strange this show is and how not funny it is, because you won't have the audience and the fake laugh trap telling you what is supposed to be funny. But Jim Parsons probably wants to do some different roles. He was in that space movie. God, what was it called? Who's kind of a dick? Those three African Americans back in the 50s, NASA.
Oh, Hidden Figures.
Yeah. He was good in that. I'm sure he's actually a good guy, but God, I hate that show.
Yeah, it's absolutely garbage. But at least for, I guess, Big Bang Theory fans, young Sheldon is still kicking.
Young Sheldon. So. We got young Sheldon. Yep. Yeah. I'm sure they'll spin off Penny, I think is her name. They'll spin something else off. This is their golden goose. I hate when I'm, like, watching Seinfeld, and then this is on after. I'm like, turn it off! Turn it off!
Next up, Game of Thrones Season 8, the final season. A report came out from Huffington Post that it was going to be released a little bit later than we originally thought. Basically, the rumor started that it was going to be like April 2019, which is, I think, what most people thought. And then there was something that came out that visual effects weren't going to be done until May at the earliest. And so it was like, how is it going to premiere before visual effects are done? But a rep from HBO told Huffington Post after they posted this article that an air date hasn't officially been announced, and they're not announcing it yet, but it will be appearing in the first half of 2019. So, I mean, technically that gives them May and June if they want to start it in there. And they did confirm that visual effects will be still being worked on in May. So I'm assuming that we're getting a June start date.
You know what I say? I say take your time. I mean, this is going to be the biggest cultural television event ever. Okay. Like, there's been shows. I mean, Friends, Seinfeld. There's been bigger shows, Sopranos. But this is it, man. This is going to be so ridiculous. It's going to be the biggest, like, event, like, just on-screen event since the original Star Wars. Like, I cannot wait for this.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Even though, you know, Season 7 soured me a little bit because it was pretty not good.
How many episodes do we get here? I mean, it's just
six.
It's just going to be six movies, basically.
Yeah, six episodes that are all going to be like an hour and a half to 2 hours long, probably.
Yeah. God. Then we get Stranger Things 2. Ooh, come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Next up, Hugh Laurie, famous for House, I guess?
Yeah.
Is going to star in an HBO space comedy from the Veep creator, Armando Iannucci. Currently just has a pilot commitment, so it's not like a series order or anything yet, but it's going to be set in the future, mostly in space. Laurie will take on the role of Ryan Clark, charming and in-control American captain of the Avenue 5, and that is pretty much all there is there. I mean, I like Hugh Laurie. I think he's pretty entertaining, and everything that I've seen him in.
I never watched House, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it any good?
Eh, it's not bad. It's okay.
I thought he was hilarious in Veep, and if it's by the same guy, he can clearly write the guy. So, isn't there another space show with Danny McBride coming as well as like a?
I believe
and John C. Reilly,
Fred Armisen, and John C. Reilly, and then Tim Heidecker. Yeah, from A24. That's going to be on. I don't think there's a network yet, but
yeah, I'm into this space. We love space, and hasn't been too much space comedy, so I'm into it.
Yeah. Next up, Who is America? The Sacha Baron Cohen show that was on Showtime that, you know, struck a nerve, I would say, with a lot of people, will not be returning for a second season, Showtime confirms. It certainly doesn't feel like something that could return for a second season.
No.
And I honestly don't think, despite like the few major things that happen, I don't know if I really care all that much that it's not getting a second season.
Yeah, it started off hot. I haven't seen the last two episodes, including the finale. There's a lot of duds, though. But when it was good, it was good. But a lot of it was really mediocre stuff. I saw that they didn't air the... why can't I think of her name? Nancy...
Sarah Palin. Here.
Jesus, yeah. Sarah Palin, Nancy. Either it wasn't that great, or she really got to Showtime.
Yeah. I'm assuming that it probably wasn't that great. I feel like... Although, like, why would she make such a big deal about it, you know?
Yeah, and he teased it, I think. So, I don't know. It'll hit the Twitters one day.
Maybe they crumbled.
I don't think I need season two of this. It was good for what it was, but yeah, we don't need season two. He'll come up with something else hilarious and brilliant and shock us all.
Yeah. He is just such a interesting human.
Yeah.
Next up, I just put this in here because this just seems insane. The Jessica Jones creator is going to exit the Jessica Jones series for an 8-figure Warner Brothers TV deal.
Jesus.
So it's just a showrunner of a show getting minimum $10 million.
And it's Jessica Jones. It's not that good.
Yeah.
Season one was good. I haven't watched season two. Have you?
No, I have not. If this person is getting minimum $10 million, what are David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who...
For sure.
run Game of Thrones getting? What are they getting? Oh. they should be getting $100 million.
Yeah, and what are they going to get after Game of Thrones to do whatever's next, whether it's going to be that slave HBO show or not? I haven't heard a peep about that. Oh, no, they're doing Star Wars next, so God, they're probably making double what they're making Game of Thrones.
That's insane. I just, like, that's such a ridiculous amount of money. All right, well, I guess good hats off to that person.
Jesus.
He has a good agent. Last news story of the week. Katie Sagal and Courtney Cox are joining Shameless. Shameless has been on pretty long, I feel like, right?
Yeah, I think they're doing season 9 or maybe 8. But I think from what I heard, it's going to be the last.
I was going to say, it feels like it's something that should be wrapping up at some point,
it's
right?
It's kind of been coasting on fumes for a bit. It's been okay still. It hasn't really dropped significantly in quality, but I think it's time to wrap it up. That and Homeland. Come on, guys.
Oh, my God. Homeland is still going?
Yeah, but the next season's the last. I think they've came out and said that.
Jesus. Showtime just milking all that
they've
stuff.
Killed everybody on Homeland.
Let me ask you this. Courtney Cox, if you had to, like, who do you think has had, like, the most successful post-Friends career after Jennifer Aniston out of, like, the main six? Because it's obviously Jennifer Aniston's number one.
Broderick? Cox, I guess. I mean, Cox isn't in anything that I watch, I but I know she's been in stuff. Housewives or whatever that show is.
I guess, like, yeah, that's true. Or
something else.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. Matt LeBlanc has, like, been nominated for, like, Emmys for that episode show where he, like, plays himself.
Yeah.
They're all just, like, on an even level of just, like, they have, like, random things here and there.
Enough.
All right, that is it for news this week. Time for some trailers. We got a couple Netflix movie trailers, kind of wild. Two that look very good, and then we got a third movie trailer, and then two, I'd say, TV trailers that we're pretty excited about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so first up is Hold the Dark. Hold the Dark is from Jeremy Saulnier, something like that, that made Green Room and Blue Ruin. Green Room was the one about, like, the neo-Nazis and, like, the backwoods where, like, a hardcore band, heavy metal band goes back there and then gets...
Patrick Stewart was a bad guy.
Yes, yes. But Hold the Dark is about, after the deaths of three children suspected to be by wolves, writer Russell Kaur is hired by the parents of a missing six-year-old boy to track down and locate their son in the Alaskan wilderness. Main character is played by Jeffrey Wright, Westworld fame, I guess, many other things.
Yeah.
James
Casino
Badge,
Royale.
Yeah, yeah. James Badge Dale is in it. Alexander Skarsgård is in it. Riley Keough, some other small players there. But this looks so dark and just, like, so intense and awesome.
Yeah. My first thought was, like, it looks like a more dark and, like, horror, like Wind River, obviously because of the setting, but I was, like, hooked immediately when I saw it was going to be a little bit more than just some kids got eaten by wolves. You can tell something sinister is at play here.
Yeah. And there's some creepy stuff going on. I don't even, like, know. There's, like, a person in a mask that just kept popping up, and I have no idea what's happening there.
I'm just excited to see Jeffrey Wright in something that isn't him just looking confused for the entire hour like he is in Westworld and whispering under his breath, like, is this real? Is this now? He looks awesome in this. He's got a huge beard. This looks really cool. But, like, immediately shot up on my anticipated list.
Yeah, and that is, I think that actually comes out in, like, 2 to 3 weeks. I could be wrong on that one, to be entirely honest. Jeez. But I'm pretty sure 2 to 3 weeks on Netflix. So that's gonna be a great Friday night watch at home.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up, we have Outlaw King, another Netflix movie. Although this one will be in theaters a little bit, a couple times, in, like, New York, LA, to qualify for Oscar talk and awards season stuff. This is from David McKenzie, who made Hell or High Water and Animal Kingdom. Which I think was, like, the coming out party for Joel Edgerton, like, 10 years ago. Starring Chris Pine, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Stephen Delane, who played Stannis on Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Bunch of other people. But this is about Robert the Bruce, who was the Outlaw King. Sorry. Dog is playing with a toy in the back. Robert the Bruce, the Outlaw King, used cunning and bravery to defeat and repel the much larger and better equipped occupying English army. Oh my god, he's going to town. Play with one of the other toys.
I vote we keep this in.
Oh, totally, totally. But yeah, I mean, this looks like a, like just sort of like an epic story, kind of like a, I mean, obviously going to compare it to Braveheart. I think Robert the Bruce was even a character in Braveheart. I'm not entirely sure. Chris Pine looks great. Not sure about that Scottish accent. Can't really tell if he's pulling it off.
There's been a couple like epics like this the last couple years that have just been complete bombs. And like you see something like this and you compare it to like Braveheart and like how a lot of the times Game of Thrones on HBO feels more epic than some of the movies released in the last couple years like this. But this looks really good. And obviously we love this director, Chris Pine. Awesome. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. And so this looks like one that I would like definitely want to see on the big screen. Unfortunately, like I said before, it might just be New York, LA, but fingers crossed that it might be big screen because like we said, it's epic. And so need to see it. All right. Next up is Green Book. Green Book stars Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen, which just sounds like an all-star duo. Directed by Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers, who made Dumb and Dumber.
Really?
And There's Something About Mary. Yeah. this is about a real-life tour of the Deep South in the 1960s by Jamaican-American classical pianist Don Shirley, played by Mahershala Ali, and New York bouncer Tony Lip, who served as Shirley's driver and security while on this trip. Basically, this is, feels like it's just dealing with like racism in the civil rights era.
First of all, I believe the Farrelly brothers were geniuses. Me, Myself, and Irene, great. There's Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber. I believe they did Kingpin as well, which is in my like top five favorite comedies. I had no idea this was them because it looks really serious and like Oscar Beatty.
Yeah, Oscar Beatty is a perfect way to put it. I don't know. Yeah. I can't, you know, like obviously I think Mahershala Ali is great. Viggo's great. It just feels like it might not end up being good.
Yeah, for some reason I felt the same. Great cast. Viggo's looking a little thick these days.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he... I read something that he tried out for a role and they passed on him because he was a little out of shape or something like that.
Really?
And I can tell here, but... Yeah, I can't remember what it was. I'll have to tweet it out. But this looks like wishy-washy. It could go either way.
And, yeah, that is that debuts actually in a couple weeks at the Venice Film Festival. But then it's probably going to be, you know, November, December release date. Next up, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Season 13 had an official trailer come out. They've been, like, teasing, like, these weird sort of, like, Halloween-y, like Friday the 13th style trailers that don't really give anything away. It's just them being weird, but this is like an actual trailer with like in-season clips, stuff from like the actual show. We don't see Dennis at all. I don't think we see a mannequin or like a paper mache of Dennis.
Yeah, I think they're playing on our expectations by like, oh, I want to see how much Dennis is in it, and they don't put him in at all and put a what looks to be a sex doll like mannequin of him.
Mac is ripped. Holy shit.
Yep.
It
looks to take on the Me Too movement a little bit. Obviously, we've talked about this before. We want to keep this show going, no matter the quality, just because we love the gang. So obviously, we're looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm pumped. And it has been confirmed that Dennis will be back. So
yeah,
we got that to look forward to. I think it'd be hilarious.
To what capacity will he be back is what we're kind of waiting to see.
They made it sound like he'd be in the majority of the episodes, but granted, like,
good.
Could it be like he's in it for like a scene in an episode or something? But that wouldn't make sense if he's just in like one scene per episode.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Hopefully they don't pull an Arrested Development season 4 and it's like weird shots where it's only two people interacting and he doesn't get time with the whole gang. We will see.
Yeah. Next up, True Detective season 3. This stars Mahershala Ali, Stephen Dorff. I guess that would be the second most notable person. Carmen Ejogo, who's been in a bunch of stuff. Sarah Gadon, Ray Fisher, the cyborg, I believe, right? Ow, stop. Yeah, yeah. Oh man, good to see that he's in something else. Hopefully, he can get a another. And then Scoot Mineri. Nice. Okay. Nice. All right. So Scoot's in there. Scoot's a good guy. This is the next installment. Yeah. So obviously, it's been a couple years, right, since season two, which was ultimately a letdown. But Nick Pizzolatto is back to write it. Jeremy Saulnier, that we were talking about before from Hold the Dark, is actually directed, I think, the first three episodes, and then I think they weren't the biggest fans, so he stopped. I don't know what exactly happened, but then I think Pizzolatto directed a couple episodes, and then they were bringing on someone else. Who was it? David Milch or something like that, that I think worked on like The Wire and or maybe The Sopranos. I'm not sure exactly which one it was. But anyways, this is story of macabre crime in the heart of the Ozarks and a mystery that deepens over decades and plays out in three separate time periods. So we're doing a little time jump, just like season one here again.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going back to like the weird child kidnapping and the cultish, almost like weird demonic type feel of the season instead of season two, which was a rushed writing from Nick Pizza Man, and I can't even remember what it's about. Some sort of sex ring or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Something. Yeah, there was something like that. I can't even remember. It was just like I have no idea. Like, what was Vince Vaughn's even whole ordeal? He was like trying to build casinos or something. I have no idea.
I remember two things from season two. One of them was a line where someone was talking about sex and fucking, and a woman goes, "Everything is fucking." And I was like, that's the dumbest line I've ever heard. And then one day, or in one scene, someone was like, Vince Vaughn was like, "They killed Stan. Why would anybody want to kill Stan?" And like the audience is like, "Who the hell is Stan? We haven't been introduced to anybody named Stan. Why is this even a scene?" God, season two is bad. Coming off of an amazing season one, so hopefully it's a return to form here.
Yeah, that's my hope. Is like he was kind of rushed to write season two, so because season one was such a hit, so that maybe could have played part of it. And it's been quite a while now, so hopefully the extra time let him work out some of his kinks.
Yeah.
So that is it for trailers this week. Now is time to talk about the Happy Time Murders. God, where do we even begin with this movie?
I've been like looking forward to / dreading this conversation.
The thing is, for me, is like I straight up don't even know how much I can say about it because it was that bad. So I'm just gonna start out by telling you guys
it's
that.
It's so empty. And we'll talk about that soon. Let's talk about how it's performed. But yeah, it's just empty.
Yeah, so this is the Dirty Muppets movie, I guess would be the right way to call it, the R-rated Muppets movie. No Sesame, All Street, as we said at the beginning of the podcast. Sorry, Melissa McCarthy, Joel McHale, Stanley from The Office, and Elizabeth Banks is in there too. 21% on Rotten Tomatoes, with an average rating of 3.9.
Jesus.
Out of 165 reviews. 52% audience score. Critics consensus. The Happy Time Murders wastes its intriguingly transgressive premise on a witless comedy that blindly pushes buttons instead of attempting to tell an entertaining story. I don't even know if it's an intriguing premise, to be honest. So, I don't even know if I would say that.
From what I've read, this movie took over 10 years to make, and the original premise was a dark noir taken seriously, but with Muppets in it, kind of as the joke. But instead, they took the Muppets in it are a joke and then just added the F-bomb and poopy and fart jokes the entire time, and that was the joke. And after that joke, you see that a couple times, it's just the same thing over and over. It's exhausting. So I do think the premise was intriguing until they took it and morphed into whatever the hell this is. I don't even know if I would have liked this in like seventh grade.
Yeah, did you laugh at any jokes in this?
I might have chuckled at a couple. Mainly something Joel McHale said, even though he was wooden the entire time. There were a couple other times where I kind of smirked, but I barely laughed. And it was more of like, I have wasted so much time watching this movie.
Yeah, it was about, I don't even know, 15 minutes in where I was like, I have realized that we have made a huge mistake and I should not be here. And I just sat there and I was like, even like when you hit that point where you're like, wow, this is going to be so, so bad that like maybe I can like laugh at how bad it is. I couldn't even do that.
How's it doing at the box office? Is this thing's bombing, right? Jim Henson's son directed this, and I think it's really his first notable thing in a long time and might be his last for a while.
Yeah. So $40 million budget, made $10 million, third place. It was basically the only movie that opened last weekend. It's behind Crazy Rich Asians and The Meg, just above Mission Impossible Fallout in its fifth week. So it is not doing good.
Jesus. So what I'll say about Henson is I thought here's pretty much the only good thing I can say about this movie. I thought the Muppets design and the technicality behind the puppets and how they walked and looked and even in a fight scene was really, really impressive. I had no idea how they did the walking ones, whether it was green screen or literally somebody walking and they superimposed the head. I really liked the big ones. There's like a rat one that looked really cool. That is pretty much the only really positive thing I can say about this movie. Is there anything that you can say similar to my praises of the Muppets design?
No. I mean, I guess.
Agree with me?
Yeah, I guess I can agree with that.
Or did you start looking past that immediately once you realized how bad this was going to be?
No. I think you are right on that. I think they look decent. And not like uber ridiculous walking around, but yeah, I mean, everything else is just so bad. Like, if that's, like, the one thing that they did good, like, they better get that right, since it's, like...
The other thing I guess I could say is I thought, as much as I hated sitting through it, I thought the pacing was pretty good. The first act was a little slow setting stuff up, but I was like, oh, it's over once I was done with it. Or were you like, every minute is hell, get me out of here?
Every minute is hell, get me out of here. There was absolutely nothing in this movie that I liked. I was just so mad that I was sitting there watching it. Not even, I shouldn't say mad, just like disappointed in myself.
Did you get to MoviePass it? You canceled, didn't you?
I did cancel MoviePass. I was able to AMC whatever, premiere it, whatever A-list, that's called.
Yeah.
A-list nice. It.
How wasted was Elizabeth Banks in this movie? She didn't even need to be in this movie. And Melissa McCarthy, it's no secret that I don't like her. She at least there was minimal occurrences of like, oopie, I'm fat and I fell down. There definitely are some of that there. But she's just phones it in as well. So does Joel McHale. Everybody in this movie seems like they don't want to be there aside from a handful of Muppet voice actors.
Yeah, I think that's a fact. Melissa McCarthy gave about a 60% effort, I think, if I could even put it at that. And I kind of like Melissa McCarthy. So, Joel McHale, you're definitely right. It was like he needed to get a paycheck and he was like, let me just do the stupidest thing that will give like take like 15 minutes to do and boom. And then, Elizabeth, thanks. Oh my God, what a so stupid. She was in it for four scenes, maybe?
Yeah.
And they like, she's like the love interest and then. Obviously,
wait,
she comes back.
We'll talk about a couple more in spoilers. No, we're
spoiling.
We're gonna wait. We're gonna spoil it soon. I got two more bullets. I thought so many of the exposition dumps were just painful. They were trying to explain the partner's backstory, and they're like, "You guys were partners. You were the first Muppet cop and the last. What you guys had was special. You used to be good friends." And I was like, okay, that gave me the backstory. But then they show all of that again in flashbacks. There were so many times where they just exposition dumped on the audience. It was so bad.
Yeah, it was. I straight up don't know what else to say. Everything was bad. I don't have anything to say about it that was good. There is just so disgusting. I'll give it this. There were some like side comments or like throwaway lines that like were.
Yes.
Like, actually weren't terrible, but all, like, the main jokes that they were trying to make were just, like, any punchline was just, like, rolling my eyes at it, because it was just so immature, and just, like, just because it's in a Muppet world or a Muppet saying or doing something nasty doesn't make it funny.
So I wrote down a couple jokes, and I'll spoil one right now, just because it is so unbelievably blatantly stupid and bad that it's just an example of what this movie's trying to do. They bring back the asshole says what? Joke multiple times in this movie. This is from Wayne's World. This is 20 years old. That's like bringing back a bunch of Your Mama jokes in a recent comedy and expecting the audience to laugh. And they do it over and over again. What the hell was that?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. And that was like that was one of the final jokes of the movie was that, yeah, them doing that. And they
like,
did it.
Like, remember that? It's a callback to when we did that joke before four other times.
It was some sort of new thing. Yeah, God, this movie, just, why?
All right,
why?
Let's give our grades. I only have a handful of spoilery bullets. I'll let you go first.
The coveted, I'll give it a D-.
I'll give it a D+, and the only reason it's not lower is I thought the puppetry was really, really cool, and I was at least able to look at that and like latch onto that for my entertainment for this tough 90 minutes.
Spoilers?
I got a handful of spoilers, yeah. What do you got? Do you have anything else that you want to talk about?
I guess the only thing would be like the Elizabeth Banks thing is where...
Why did she survive? There was no point.
Yeah, exactly. And
she came back for 3 minutes to do nothing.
Yeah, and she did not. Yeah, I knew in my heart that she was gonna come back, and I was like, oh, well, I guess maybe she's the villain or something. And then just nothing else. And then she just shows up out of nowhere for no reason. It gave no payoff in any way, and that was it. And it was just a stupid thing.
A couple examples of some of the jokes that are just so bad, and I should have expected this. Actually, the first time I saw the jizzing of the puppet scene multiple times and like continuing when you thought it was over, I laughed. I'll not gonna lie, just because I was like, that was pretty good. The second time I was like, all right, whatever. But there were so many that were trying to be like that, but were just so rudimentary and childish. There was, like for example, a bunny in a porn shop gets scared when he gets held up, and he pees color, and then poops when he's scared, he drops an egg, right? Because he's a bunny. Yep. And then there's bunnies at a strip club that are getting all hot and bothered over a human stripper, Elizabeth Banks, with a carrot, and they say things like, oh, my Peter Rabbit's getting hard, because, like, Peter is another word for penis, and Peter Rabbit is a bunny. And, like, it's just like, good Lord, that is... Who wrote this movie? I don't really have any additional jokes, but it's just like, that's just an example of, like, I don't even know if I'd laugh at this in 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never just straight up just, like, rolled my eyes at so many jokes in a movie.
This might be the worst discussion we've ever had, just because we don't have a lot to say here.
I know.
I feel like I've given a movie an F before. Do you remember? I think I surprised you. It might have been Skyscraper, but I was more entertained by Skyscraper.
You didn't give Skyscraper enough. I wouldn't have allowed such a thing. I don't know.
I think I gave like
how many...
Super Troopers an F, which I turned off, to be fair. But I didn't walk out of Super Troopers 2. I'm sorry. I got two more things. I was expecting more of like an actual large set action sequence in the third act, but nothing
really came. Yeah.
There was really no big action sequence, and maybe that's just because it's hard to do with Muppets.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, and it was a very, they tried making it like a noir story, so I guess maybe that's it. I guess most noirs don't really have big action set pieces, but.
Yeah.
I think it would have been funny to see a big action set piece. I think it would have been kind of funny.
I agree, like. Team just America style, where it just kind of looked goofy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you had two. You had the hold up in the porn shop, and Muppets got their heads blown off, and then you had Melissa McCarthy fighting when a dog called her a bitch, which I thought that scene was kind of cool, and I didn't notice too many like shitty CG moments. It actually looked like she was fighting Muppets.
Yeah. What else you got? What's your final thing?
How about
here?
This? Did you pick who the killer was, or did they get you at the end with a twist?
You know, I think they got me because I thought it was Elizabeth Banks.
Nice. I'm not going to lie. I started browsing Reddit's movie spoiler thread during this movie, and I read a comment that said, just because I was so over it, who would have thought that Muppet-colored pubic hair would be a spoiler for a later spoiler in the movie. And I was like, and then she did the Fatal Attraction moment, and I was like, oh, yeah, she's probably the killer, because I just saw that Muppet's pink pubic hair.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, that was disturbing, almost, I would say.
Yeah.
It's like, here's like a funny homage to a erotic thriller movie. So it's funny because of a Muppet, except it's just like gratuitously gross.
And then like when she introduced herself, she was like, I have Amagana disease or something. And then he's like, oh, what's yeah. that? She's like, if I stand next to you, Amagana fuck you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh dear God, this is, and that was early. And I was like, oh, we're in for a rough ride here.
Yeah.
That's about all I got. Jesus, avoid this movie at all costs. Don't even watch it on Netflix or wherever the hell it ends up. D+ for me.
D- for me. I am so sorry that we couldn't have a better discussion. It was just like so bad. And it wasn't even so bad that like I can really pinpoint so much stuff. Everything was bad in this movie.
Everything was bad except the technicality of the Muppets design and their blend of practicality and CG. Did you stay for the after credits, the kind of behind the scenes?
I left immediately.
I stayed because that was the one thing I appreciated about the movie, and it was really cool to see a little bit of behind the scenes. And God, probably the best part of the movie was the post credits.
Well, oh well. that sucks for me. All right, thank you for listening. This has been just the Happy Time Murders review. A great stuff. We had technical difficulties, so this might sound a bit choppy and weird. Hope you bared with us. Next week, Searching, I think? The John Cho sort of like on the computer screen movie.
Yes.
I think that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Let's do that for sure.
Which has got like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's supposed to be pretty good. It was pretty good at Sundance. So pretty pumped for that one, even though, you know, it plays out on a computer screen. But so we'll have that for you guys next week. Remember to subscribe and review, share, like, comment, all that fun stuff. And we will see you next week.
We apologize for the poor discussion. Do not see this movie. Bye.